Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire, is directed by Zack Snyder. When a peaceful colony on the edge of the galaxy finds itself threatened by the armies of the tyrannical regent Belisarius, they dispatch Cora, a young woman with a mysterious past, to seek out warriors from neighboring planets to help them take a stand. So when it comes to Rebel Moon and my excitement for this film, I was really looking forward to this movie because I am a fan of Zack Snyder. I wouldn't say I'm one of his, super diehard followers who, follows him and everything he does and just creates bots just to give him more traction. I'm not one of those people, but I'm certainly a fan of the movies of his that he's made that I have seen. However, the thing I've definitely noticed about his movies is that when he's involved behind the camera, but not so much on the page, I think the movie turns out a lot better. But when it came to Rebel Moon, he was co-writing this movie. But this was definitely a big passion project for him because he actually originally pitched this movie as a Star Wars film. And that, and this kind of being Zack Snyder's edgier, darker take on Star Wars and some of the cast members they added, and just the very Seven Samurai kind of plot, along with, again, Snyder himself being attached, I was really looking forward to seeing a big, epic fantasy sci-fi film, even if it was unfortunately not going to be in theaters. So does Rebel Moon, at least part one, A Child of Fire, deliver what I wanted from this movie, or is it an unsatisfying setup for maybe better things down the line? Well, find out in this review. And the first thing I'll say, as you probably expect, is that Rebel Moon is all Zack Snyder. It is everything you expect from him, in the sense that from a directorial perspective, it is ultra stylized. But everything else from a story perspective, I would say it's pretty derivative. But look, I am a fan of Zack Snyder. Like I said, I'm not one of his, cult followers, but I'm certainly a fan of the movies he's made, whether that's in DC or the few I've seen outside of DC. I like him as a filmmaker, and I just like how he, unlike so many of the other directors in Hollywood, definitely puts his stamp on these movies and has a unique voice. And this movie absolutely carries that through, even if this version of the movie isn't the version that I think he intended on making in the first place. But I'm also a fan of a lot of the inspirations for this movie, and one of the biggest ones being Star Wars. It makes the film, Snyder definitely makes the film edgier, have much heavier subject matter and themes than you would expect from Star Wars, and a more aggressive plot, more aggressive characters. But I feel like even with that, I think it makes the film, again, more unique, especially when you compare it to something like Star Wars, and it's why he wanted to make this movie. And I at least really appreciated seeing that. And even this version of the movie itself, not even the R-rated director's cut, isn't all that family friendly. It is definitely more his style. It's a very hard PG-13. And that, differentiating it from Star Wars, I think works well enough for the most part. And there's definitely some stunning visuals, as you would expect from Zack Snyder, complete with the excessive use of slow-mo and just so much dramatic camera pans and these very over-exaggerated and slightly muted colors, while also having some very saturated visual effects and sunlight effects. Everything you expect from Zack Snyder is here, and his directorial style is on full display. And look, I enjoy it, even if it is a bit, overindulgent for a lot and self-indulgent for a lot of it, making the movie a lot longer than maybe it needed to be. And this movie, being an epic mythological space fantasy tale, is the kind of movie that I like watching. It has epic sci-fi storytelling on a big scale. It's got these worlds that have different visual styles, very otherworldly, but also grounded enough to where it doesn't feel like it's a cartoon. That is my kind of sci-fi film. That is my kind of genre. Not just sci-fi, sci-fi being one of my favorite genres. This is the kind of movie that I just enjoy watching, whether or not it has the greatest story I've ever seen, whether or not it feels like a copy and paste of 10 other things I've seen. This is my type of movie. And I think because of that, Star Wars influences and the stuff from Kurosawa that he takes, and of course, being Snyder, a director I like, I enjoyed quite a lot of this movie just based off that alone. And the worlds are vast. There's tons of characters who are really different. And again, each world, whether it's the creature design or even the way things look, how some of it is similar to our world, like very grounded. But some other parts we have, Imperials and spaceships, and we have literally straight up space Nazis. I mean, all that I think is the kind of sci-fi storytelling that I really gravitate towards. And along with that, there are some really great action scenes, as you would expect from Snyder. Again, too much slow-mo, I would say maybe, but it is his style. And this movie, not being connected to a pre-established universe like, say, his DC films, leans even harder into that. So I feel like that's kind of expected. And a lot of the action scenes are very well choreographed. It's pretty brutal, even for a PG-13, and I really appreciated that. And a lot of the actions are very hard-hitting, as you would want to kind of expect from Zack Snyder. And the world building of this movie is massive and dense. And a lot of that, again, goes with kind of the mythological sci-fi storytelling, kind of how much Zack Snyder is trying to put into this. It goes with that. There is a lot more to explore with, not with this world, but this universe in its sequels. But there's enough setup with whether that's because of the characters or because of, just characters that we see, like, for example, Anthony Hopkins' droid character. There's clearly a lot more under the surface that we haven't learned. But there's just enough given in this film to make you care about it early on. Like, we start off on one of the more interesting planets where Sofia Boutella's character Cora is, and I just really like the way it looked, and that it was very grounded into land where people farm. But there's just a slightly futuristic, but also slightly post-apocalyptic look to it that kind of gets you intrigued from almost the opening scene. And we also have a couple characters that I really enjoyed. I really liked the droid character who's played by Anthony Hopkins. I don't know what his name is. The movie doesn't really go out to explain that. But there's a lot of really great intrigue built with this character. That he's kind of a character who really carries a lot of the weight and history of this universe, but isn't a human being. So it's kind of not really what you'd expect. But I think that character, whenever he was on screen, and he was really only in, like, parts of the first act of the movie, I'm really interested to see where that character goes, because he's such a different portrayal of a droid, and it's not the way he's normally used. And of course, Anthony Hopkins voicing him, he stands out more because of that. And there's also a really intimidating general character played by, nope, not played by, but with the character with the name of Noble. And there's a really tense opening scene with him that I really liked. And then moving on to Sofia Boutella, I've heard some people criticize her performance in this movie, and it's very bland and one note. I don't know if I fully agree. I really liked her in this movie as Cora. I thought she was a really compelling lead. I think a big part of that is because of her backstory, and while I don't really like how her backstory was told to us, and I'll get into that a bit later, I think it makes her character immediately easy to root for compared to the entire rest of this movie, with so many characters who are just willing to do bad, bad things. Her character, even though she has a really dark past, because of the redemption she's kind of gone through and where she wants to go in this movie, I liked her, and I thought Sofia Boutella did a good job of kind of capturing that she has that history, and she's carrying it very much with her, and I thought she gave a pretty good performance. Not one of the most powerful presences I've ever seen in a Zack Snyder movie, but I think it worked for this one. Now, going into the mixed aspects of this movie, there's one thing I really want to talk about, and that's that there is a sense that this isn't the full-on Zack Snyder version that a lot of us wanted to see, and not what he wanted to put out. And I think that's extremely disappointing. This is not his final version that he wanted to put out, that he envisioned from the very beginning. There is, of course, the R-rated movie that Zack Snyder envisioned. This he has said he wanted this movie to be rated R. This is not that version. This movie's PG-13, and this is not the one that he intended when he wrote the script to release on Netflix. And the motivations for why they decided to make this its own cut, I think, are extremely sketchy, and something that I really do not condone Netflix doing, not that they care about my opinion. But I think it's just a very, we'll say, exploitive of the consumers who want to watch this movie, and they're just trying to create artificially another Snyder cut situation. Release a watered-down PG-13 cut of one of Zack Snyder's movies, just a way to release a longer one that's rated R, but also gives you more of what he wants and more of the themes he's trying to explore, and just more of that mythological feel, at least I'm assuming. And Snyder himself has said that his version of the movie feels like it's set in an alternate reality compared to this PG-13 cut that I'm reviewing. So he's admitting himself it is not the same movie. And when it comes to Zack Snyder, that's the version I want to see, because his director's cuts, which he's kind of famous for or infamous for, depending on who you are always better. At least not always, with the exception of maybe Watchmen, which I haven't seen. That's from what people have said. From all his other movies, especially his DC films, the director's cuts are always stronger. And like this is almost like a Snyder Cut situation in that the 4-hour cut is nothing like the theatrical cut. And I really don't like how Netflix has decided to release this version and not the full one, just to try to, again, create kind of a Snyder Cut excitement for that, even though that's not what should have happened. This was never meant to be a 2-hour PG-13 cut until Netflix decided they could make more, not make more money, but try to draw more subscribers and get in those Snyder fans by releasing two different versions, which, hey, I'm one of them. I will watch the director's cut when it comes out, but it just feels wrong. And this kind of nonsense from Netflix is just stuff that I really don't like in this industry. And I hope we don't get more like this going forward. And another thing I will say is that this movie is definitely an acquired taste. If you're not a fan of sci-fi Zack Snyder, this movie is definitely not for you. For me personally, I fit into almost all those boxes, and I really like that Snyder is leaning into what people who enjoy his movies want. And I'm one of those people. I don't love quite a lot of his movies, but I appreciate his style. I like that he's leaning into that. But this movie is not the Zack Snyder movie that's going to draw in the general audience. I feel like Zack Snyder's Justice League was. This movie is not that. Because again, of the excessive slow-mo, kind of the slow world building and the methodical pace. Not to say that he's, very good at those things. I think sometimes it comes off a little pretentious. I think that when it comes to this film, it is not the crowd-pleasing sci-fi film of the year. So just know that going in. Now, getting into the stuff about this movie that didn't really work for me. Number one, the part one of it all. The third act of this film, Rebel Moon Part One, A Child of Fire, feels like it was ham-fisted and, again, artificially created just for this movie to end on a relatively satisfying note and in a way that's exciting and big. Like, the third act of this movie, I feel like, with the exception of one or two elements, could have been completely taken out from this epic Rebel Moon saga of two movies and pretty much not made a single difference. And had they taken it out, though, this movie would have ended on a complete fizzle. So it doesn't fully work. So because of that, I feel like this movie just kind of forces you into this third act battle. You're kind of just dropped into it. And I honestly didn't even realize we were at the climax of this first part because it just felt like such a second act kind of battle situation because they can't give you the full-on final, battle between the band of misfits we put together and, kind of the oppressors in the galaxy because of the fact that, again, there's another part and there's more story to tell, apparently. Because this entire movie is about recruiting the team that you see on the poster. The middle act, because of this, is very repetitive, and the recruitment also feel really unearned. I don't know if that's because it's a shorter version, but every time a new character is recruited, you're kind of just like, just from hearing that, like, there's literally one character where he initially declines, and it takes like two lines of dialogue to convince him, and again, it kind of feels like there's more there. And bizarrely, though, this plot, where we're recruiting characters, has been done so much better and so much quicker in other movies. So is the director's cut kind of just more of the same plot, or is there actually more layers to it? I think that's the question, because the thing is, the plot of this movie, like I said, is very, very simple, but still, each character feels extremely underdeveloped. I don't know anything about any of them other than Korra. And moreover, the recruitment, despite this entire movie just being about recruiting the characters, don't feel earned. And I don't understand how Zack Snyder managed to release this version of the movie and not feel that. So I don't really understand what was happening there. And I think, again, talking about the characters, they are unmemorable in this film. Other than the few I mentioned, too many of them for, again, a 2-hour movie, despite the movie focused on just literally getting them to join the team, there's too many of them, and because that none of them, other than again the main character we're introduced to the earliest, we know anything about, every other character, once they're recruited, is literally just standing in the background for the rest of the movie, and quite literally. And because of that, I thought that was really disappointing, because all of the best sci-fi films, whether that's Star Wars or anything like that, have great, compelling characters. This movie, I don't think, fits into that bubble. Every character is pretty much only recruited for their skill set, and we don't know anything about them, so there isn't much emotional payoff by the end of this movie, even when their skill sets are, for example, taken advantage of. Another thing I would say, since I already talked about the third act of it, the plot twists in this film are, I thought, were very predictable. There's a few sacrifices that, again, I saw a mile away. Some of the biggest sci-fi cliches in this movie are from those twists and those reveals. And I think, again, they felt pretty unsatisfying. And even in their reveals, I thought they were pretty unsatisfying. But I think the biggest thing working against this movie for a lot of people is the script. Because I think the screenplay of this movie was pretty lackluster in a few different ways. Number one is, of course, the characters, like I just said. I don't know if that was due to the editing and how much of this movie was cut out in order to make a shorter version. And maybe in the longer cut will fix all of this. But again, forgettable characters, unlike a lot of this movie's inspirations. And the other thing is the dialogue, which I thought was pretty poor and very unnatural. And again, that's one of Snyder's weaknesses. Whenever he's working on the script on one of his movies, I feel like it turned out to be one of his weaker movies. But here he did have some co-writers, some of which he's worked with before. The dialogue is very stiff. It's very monotone in its delivery. And beyond that, I think this movie's handling of exposition isn't great. A lot of it is just said out loud. Like, the show don't tell rule is definitely not achieved here. Again, all the delivery of the expository scenes in the flashbacks feels very monotone. It almost doesn't need to be there. I feel like the scenes and the visuals, which is Snyder's, you know, that's what he's good at, kind of speak for themselves. And I feel like the dialogue was pretty unnecessary. And one of his biggest flaws, I think, as a creative in general, is how he handles exposition. And in this movie, I think that absolutely is the case again. And lastly, there's definitely some pretty shoddy VFX at best. Now, some of the CGI characters and creatures I think look amazing for a Netflix film, but a lot of the background and the green screens literally look like painted 2D, completely flat backgrounds, like literally just walls that they were filming in front of. And I don't think that's a great look, and it completely just takes you out of this very vast and deep in lore universe that Zack Snyder and his team have created. And I think it stands out more because when the sets are practical, like in the opening world when we're in the grass, not looking at the background, it looks amazing. But all that immersion that you're supposed to feel in a sci-fi movie is completely ruined by those fake backgrounds. So getting into my final thoughts on Rebel Moon Part 1, like I already said, this is the kind of movie that I can enjoy based off its epic, mythological, space fantasy, sci-fi setting and storytelling. It draws from some of my favorite movies and, you know, genres and stories out there. I like Zack Snyder as a filmmaker, and he puts in a lot of his style into this. There's some really cool action and some very fun world building. But I'm really disappointed that Netflix decided to release this movie and not this final, full, edgier and kind of just pedal to the metal cut that I feel like is what everybody, including myself, was really excited to see. And the part one of this, I don't think really helps. It doesn't feel like a fully satisfying narrative. The characters are very unmemorable. And I feel like the script and the dialogue doesn't help. And I feel like lets down a lot of the parts of the movie that I thought worked pretty well. Again, I did enjoy this movie. I had more fun than it seems like more people did. And I would lean slightly positive because this is the kind of movie I enjoy watching. But I don't think this movie on its own, aside from my personal biases, really holds as all that strong of a film. And especially not for one who's either a fan of the genre or Zack Snyder himself. I'm going to give Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire, a C+. And I would recommend you watch this if you are a Snyder fan only. I think everybody not in the camp of just being a Zack Snyder fan is either going to not be a big fan of the style or just really cannot get into the way this movie's put together. And even then, if you don't like sci-fi films, this movie is definitely not for you. It is not kind of the entry, you know, gateway drug kind of film. So if you are a Snyder fan, I recommend you check this thing out on Netflix. It doesn't have to be immediately. But honestly, even if you are a big Zack Snyder fan, I'd recommend you wait till the full 4-hour cut. Because I feel like that's the true meat. That is what you really want to see if you're a fan of his movie. Now, I haven't seen that version, but he said himself that that is the cut he originally intended. So I'd recommend you wait to see that. Unless you're such a big fan of Zack Snyder, you're so excited for this movie that you have to see this. I think if you're one of those people, I do think you'll enjoy this movie if, based on the trailers, it looks like something that's up your alley, like it was for me. So thank you guys so much for listening. As always, let me know what you thought of Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire. I'll catch you all next time. Bye-bye.